Parsha Bamidbar, we have the count of Klal Yisrael, as well as the formation of Klal Yisrael around the Mishkan. There were three groups, three Shvatim on each side, four sides, altogether 12 Shvatim, with Levim in the middle. Take a look at the Pasuk, in source number one, Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, this is paraphrased, "The children of Israel shall encamp each man by his banner, according to the insignias of their father's household. At a distance surrounding the tent of meeting shall they encamp. Those who encamp in the front at the east shall be the banner of the camp of Yehuda, with Yisachar and Zvulun. In the south was Reuven, Shimon and Gad. In the west was Ephraim, Manasseh, and Binyamin. And in the north, Dan, Naphtali, and Asher." When the Chumash describes it, Be'oto L'Beit Avotam, Sarashi offers us in source number 3 two interpretations. Be'otot, according to the signs, Kol Degel, every division, shall have for itself a sign, namely, a colored sheet of cloth hanging in its midst. The color of the sign of this division is unlike the color of the sign of that division. The color of each one is like the color of a stone that is fixed upon the Choshen of the high priest. As a result of this, each individual recognized his division. And we also know the Medrash tells us that there was a different picture that was found on each of the Shvatim, and that was clearly a reflection of who that tribe was, what they represented. Reuven was Dudayim, Shimon was Shechem, etc. Davar Acher, and it's a Davar Acher that I'd like to learn together today, Mirtz Hashem. Be'oto L'Beit Avotam, according to the signs of their father's house, means Be'ot Shemasar Lehem Yaakov Avihem, by the signs which their father Yaakov passed on to them. When they buried him when they carried him, his remains from Egypt, as it says, Vayesu Banav Lo Kein Kashir Tzivam, his sons did for him like that which he had commanded them. Yaakov commanded, Yehuda Yisachar and Zvulun should carry me from the east, Reuven, Shimon, and Gad from the south, etc. So Levein Avotam, according to the father's house, is not just that there is a division by the father's household, but rather the division was already established by the forefather Yaakov Avinu. The way that they carried Yaakov Avinu to Eretz Yisrael is the very same formation which they traveled around the Mishkan. The Shulchan Pinchas brings the Medrash a little bit more in detail in source 4. When Yaakov Avinu passed away from this world, he blessed each of the son and gave him specific instruction. He emphasized that they carry him to the land with reverence and respect. No one touches coffin, especially none of the Egyptian, and he specified how they were to carry him. Levi was not to carry him. Yosef was the king. He was also not to carry him, but rather his two sons. They honored his commands, and Akash Baruch Hu fulfilled. Yaakov promised them, and then returned for fulfilling his instructions. Hashem would rest his presence upon them in a similar division in the future. They honored his commands, and Akash Baruch Hu fulfilled the promise. Moshe, however, feared that these divisions would stir up controversy. Akash Baruch Hu told Moshe not to concern himself with such worries. Each tribe will know and recognize its proper position based on their father's instruction. And Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned. Hey, I don't want to be in the east. Hey, I don't want to be in the south. Why are you putting me here? I want to be here. Right? We know how people have a mindset of their own. So Akash Baruch Hu said, don't worry. These tribes already know exactly where they need to be from the way they carried Yaakov Avinu. Thus we have learned an astonishing fact from the Medrash. Throughout the years of the lengthy sojourn in the Midbar, from the time that Mishkan was built, Yisrael always traveled and camped in four divisions beneath four banners. This was the very same pattern order they adopted while transporting Yaakov Avinu to his final burial. Furthermore, we learned a tremendous chiddush from the Medrash. The Shvatim merited their banners and divisions in the Midbar in the merit of transporting Yaakov's coffin in this specific formation. For Yaakov promised them, if you will do this and carry my bed as I command you, Akash Baruch Hu is destined to dwell with you in an array of banners. And the question we have to ask ourselves, and that's our question for today, what is the intimate connection between the procession with Yaakov Avinu's bed to his burial spot in Eretz Yisrael, to Israel's banners and divisions in the Midbar? Mahakasher. Why is it so important? Why was it so important for Yaakov Avinu to set up each of the tribes in this specific way? What is the significance in the fact that the way they carried Yaakov Avinu is the way that they were going to travel in the Midbar? There must be some deeper connection between the two. And that's what we're going to try, Yirtzeh Hashem, today to discover, as well as perhaps a mindset to walk into as we move up closer to Shavuos as well. Before we begin the study, I'd like to preface it with one very important fundamental principle. And that's brought in L'titcha Yom for Moshe Soloveitchik, who asks, "Ma'i gayon shashatim yaskim lo chaluka mishum shakar yaskim lo chaluka shasay Yaakov Avinu?" You're making an assumption here. The assumption the Medrash is making is that the fact that they carried Yaakov Avinu in this manner, so they'll, and they agreed to that, so they'll agree to this as well. Well, who says that just because they agree to one, they'll agree to the other? Is that to be understood and guaranteed? So, Ella, Amarkash Baruch Lemoshe, Heyo v'chol sheva v'shevet murgalim komo b'yimek v'rus Yaakov, ein sibar she'er erokach she'kein v'ragil she'zeh mekomo. They're carrying Yaakov Avinu up from Egypt to Eretz Yisrael. Klai Yisrael are moving from Egypt to Eretz Yisrael. It's almost the exact same scenario. The Vort says, Ramosha Salvechak Zatzel, is very profound. And that is, when Klai Yisrael have been habituated to go in this way, when they've been habituated to have these formations, so then they are going to follow suit at a later stage. And we see here a fundamental principle in chinuch. When you train somebody at a young age, baragot yashrus, with ways of uprightness, then it will be much easier for them to follow suit when they get older. But when children are older, it's much greater challenge for them to be able to start taking on certain practices. What do we learn from this? First and foremost, the fact that Yaakov Avinu set them up in this way is he's telling them, I want you from the get-go to know that this is the appropriate way you should go. And once it's been established at the very formation of Klal Yisrael, that becomes part and parcel of who they are. Likewise, when you are matchil b'chinuch ha-mitzvot, when you start training children at a young age in mitzvos, in mitos tovos, and in good hanhaga practices, so then they'll have far less challenges later on, and the Yetzer Hara has less of a koach, less of a power, less of a hold on them. So let's just put this into English before developing this. You know, in most frum homes, a child is taught at a young age, you don't turn a light on Shabbos. That's not something we do. As an example, when a child becomes 18, 28, 58, that struggle, should I turn a light on Shabbos, should I not turn a light on Shabbos, isn't a struggle. Because from a young age, we don't turn lights on Shabbos. It becomes part of the whole repertoire of what Shabbos is about. That's why chinuch, especially the very young age, 2-3 years old, is so fundamental. Because it's really setting the pattern, right? Like the brain wave for the way the child is going to be for their entire life. And this is that Shraga points out, or Shraga Grossbard in Source 6, Hergel, getting habituated to something is something that even when you get older, you're going to hold on to. And we should know that kochol shel chinuch lehergelim tovim hu chazak ma'od. It's very strong, albeit the winds today are very strong winds. At the same time, it's going to be much harder to fight when it's become so much a part and parcel of who a person is. And that Traga goes on, and it's a very beautiful imagery, and he says, the neshama of a Jew is something so great and so exalted that we have even no concept of what this is about. we look at people as Basara Adam. You know, this one's a little bit bigger, this one's a little bit skinnier, this one's taller, this one's shorter, and this one has this, you know, teva, this nature, this one has that nature. We're looking very, very externally. Because within each and every one of us, what really defines us, what's really the hallmark of a person, is the chelak eloka mimal, is the divine presence of above. That Hashem breathed into us. We have godliness within us. It's a spark from the Ribbono Shel Olam, Nera Elokim Nishmas Adam. The diamond is so tall, but ma'ad mina or hatarava mitzvos laloded or neshama shteira kol mamto shel adam. Because we have this inherent light and energy in us, it doesn't take much of Torah mitzvos to ignite this, to make this a powerful flame that's going to be a directive for all mankind. Hayitachen zu. That's the power of the neshama. The neshama in every person, even in the lowest of people, has within it this fire, and hence we find stories of people who will die of Kiddush Hashem and haven't even lived one mitzvah, you know, publicly in their lives, but inherently. Every Jew is connected to that core. Tafkideinu, and here's the key in 7, listen closely. Kim Mechanchim. As educators, parents, grandparents, friends, neighbors, v'gam klapei atzmeinu, and there's also chinuch for ourselves. Lo lachshich et or haganuz b'kirbeinu, don't diminish this light. Sometimes we do small things and we say, "What's the big deal? It's not such a big deal." But we have to understand that these are the things that can put a dimmer on this light. We all know this. A person sees something on the internet that they shouldn't see. It can have such a negative effect that we have even no understanding. Boggles our minds. Something so small. But it's extinguishing part of that light. What is our job? Our job is to be able to take the aura on the Shema, which is found within each one of us. Ula iroto, to bring it to light. V'la'ir et darko, and to allow it to enlighten our path throughout our lives, that it should be able to elevate us, be able to give us the energy to move on. Chinuch of others, chinuch of ourselves, keep the light, keep the flame burning. Be careful not to do things that will block or put out part of that light. When we talk about chinuch, I just want to take this for a few more minutes, and again, we'll bring it to our lives, Mirat Hashem. Rav Yisrael Salman with Hearts Full of Love, which is a fantastic sefer on Chinuch Banim. He quotes from the Shlach Kadosh. He has to be trained and conditioned so as to have good midos from the time he utters his first words. Raise a child according to his way, even when he's old, he will not turn from it. And then the Shlach becomes specific. People have had many bad midos, swearing, cursing, anger, cruelty, v'chule. On the other hand, there are thousands about thousands of good midos, shyness, reticence, innumerable others. And above all, the knowledge of Baruch Shalom is the greatest, to the greatest extent possible, constantly speaking about holy matters. In order to become an Adam HaShalem, a complete person, one should shed all the bad midos and aspire to all the good midos. 9 is responsibility of parents, he continues, to devote themselves to teaching their children to shun bad midos and embrace good midos until this becomes the very essence of their beings. They should inculcate these midos into their children day after day, even 100 times a day, until it becomes part of them. The parents should give their children explicit guidance in these things at 2 or 3 years of age. At an early age, it becomes part of their nature. When you plant a tree, you can form it any way you wish while it's still a sapling. But when it grows into a sturdy tree, it's too late to do any further forming. I remember when I once asked, I was teaching elementary school, and I asked the Shiloh whether I should move into high school. And this was the answer I was given. When you teach elementary school, teaching young children, you can still form them, you can still have an impact. Once they get older, it's much more challenging to be able to change them and to really work on that direction of which where the child is going. And indeed, I stayed in elementary school for 3 more years until I, that was it. And then high school, that was it. The work of chinuch, of bringing up good Erlich children, begins from when the child is extremely young. You cannot start too early. As soon as he reaches a minimal level of understanding, it's time to start molding his character. You have to train and condition to have good midos, and you have to prevent him from picking up bad midos from other people or developing them on his own. You have to teach him these lessons again and again in a gentle, pleasant way until it becomes second nature to him. No, perhaps a better way of saying it is that they should become first nature. If you neglect this critical aspect of chinuch, the good midos that you want to instill in him will not come naturally to him. And then he's going to be sitting, you know, in yeshiva or seminary, and you'll be learning a Musar Sefer, and you'll say, wow, that midos for tzaddikim, when it could be the second nature of this child, had he been conditioned this way. From when he's very young, not to tell, you have to tell the child not to show off, because that's gaiva, very bad midah. It's repulsive. You have to tell him not to be glutton, to eat slowly, respectively, to eat foods that are nutritious. You have to tell him not to mock people in 12 or speak Lashon Hara or Mechilos because it's mean and hurtful, because it's not how an Eretz human being behaves. We speak with refined language. We're kind to others. If you start when the child is very young, you speak about it gently, persuasively, and often, the lessons will penetrate and they'll become part of the very nature of a child. When it comes to chinuch and mitzvos, it won't matter so much if you delay a little and wait until the child is 100% ready. But when it comes to chinuch and midos, there's no time to wait. If bad midos are allowed to take root in a child, it becomes exceedingly difficult to uproot them later. So the idea number one for today is that what we learn from our parsha is that Yaakov Avinu is setting the stage that they should be able to be comfortable in the divisions that they are, that they're not going to complain, they're not going to be jealous. I want to be on that side, I want to be here, I want to be near that one, I don't want to be near that one. If you start them on a young age, then it will be much easier for the tree to go in the direction that you wish it to grow. And that's why Rav Solomon Shlita makes a distinction, which is very fascinating, between midos, good deeds, proper conduct, and mitzvot. Mitzvot, he says, maybe you should wait till the child's a little bit older and understand what a bracha is about. But midos has to be at a young age. You have to train the child, this is appropriate, this is inappropriate. Then when a child shows off in a pleasant, nice way, but over and over again, we don't want to be a Baal Gaiva. And I see this, you know, with my daughter, who's a Ganenet, who's teaching midos in three-year-olds. And she was telling, she's a Ganenet Mashima, she has a 1 day a week when the Ganenet is off, so she fills in, and she has her own curriculum. So she's telling her friend that, you know, she has this great curriculum, and she sings a lot of songs with the kids. And, you know, they're singing all day. And the singing all day, you know, makes an impression. You want to have clean hands. You don't take that which doesn't belong to you. And I've gotten feedback, and she's gotten feedback from parents, how they're singing the songs. Trust me, I'm also singing these songs. It's, you know, I sent to Chana Dazir Chassid to know what he's getting into. Right? He's going to be living in a gan, in a three-year-old's kindergarten. But okay, be that as it may. It starts at a young age. What was fascinating is, so she told her friend that this is a great curriculum. She has a whole, you know, activities and songs. And when her friend asked her supervisor if she could teach this, her supervisor said, no. Three-year-olds are too early to learn midos. And that's the exact opposite of Rav Shishao. And her friend is teaching about animals. And like, Hanalo's like, so chaval. Like, this is where it's at. When a child knows at a young age that vitarti, you know, hidgabarti, I gave in because I overcame, and there's a pride, and they sing the song when a girl, you know, shares, and they feel so great about themselves, like, wow, this is where it starts. 2-3 years old, they have that fundamental ability, and it stays with them for life. Now, let's bring this to our lives, and then we'll finish this section with a short story. Okay, so maybe we don't have children to educate, or grandchildren, great-grandchildren, of Sofka Lodaros. But the same mindset applies to us. when we take on that we want to work on Amitta. So it wasn't given to us at a young age not to lie, but I want to work on that. We have to have that same amount of energy that we put into our children. As Ramastio said, many times a day, to say it over and over again, I'm all proud of you, Vahule. We have to work on our own chinuch that way. And we see this ourselves, that, you know, you take on a Kabbalah that you're going to do X. And it oftentimes falters. Why? Because we don't invest in it. We don't plant with that dedication. If we would make it part of us and that repertoire over and over again to become part and parcel of who we are, just like we want a child to have this as part of who they are, as part of their genetic DNA, we need to make it part of our genetic DNA by really focusing on it, learning about it, talking about it, sharing, until it becomes part of us. We have to treat ourselves as that little three-year-old and make it part of who, what we are. Just to give a sense of the power of chinuch that parents can give into a child, that it becomes who the child is. It's second nature, or as he notes, first nature. Somebody sent me a clip, and I did not listen to the whole thing. It's hard for me to sit for over an hour by the computer and just listen. So I, you know, just listened to snippets of it. Very, very beautiful. In memory of one of the Kedoshim of Meron, Dovi Steinitz from Montreal, and his mother spoke, as well as a Chasheva Rebbetzin spoke about Amuna, about Animamin and the Animamin Initiative. So I heard one story that Dovi Steinman's mother shared, and it's this encapsulates what we're speaking about. She was talking about how Dovi's personality, what was his strength, one of his many, was an ish chesed, a person who cared about others, a person who went beyond self and really was a bal chesed. And again, when you make this part and parcel of who you are, this is where you're going to be at Yom Achron, until your very last day. She shared a story where she had asked one of her cousins, also by the family name of Steinitz, to go be Menachem Avil to the other Kedoshim. So this relative went to the family of Chayus, who lived in Yerushalayim, a little boy. And when he knocked on the door, another young boy, 9, 10, 11 at least, opened the door and asked who he is, and he said, Steinitz. And the little boy said, Steinitz be Canada? And he said, yeah, you know, I'm coming from that family. And the boy ran in, mother sitting Shiva, and said, the Oreach, the guest here, is Steinitz from Canada. And everyone was very, very, emotional. How did they know Dovi? Like, you want to know, like, what is the connection between this Yerushalmi boy to a boy learning in Eretz Yisrael from Montreal? So they told the following story, that when the stampede happened, the father was hurt his foot, he was out of commission. There were these two boys, one who was one of the Kedoshim, and this little boy who opened the door, who were like being jam-packed with everyone else. And they were standing near Dovi and his friend while this stampede was happening. And Dovi told these boys, who were obviously very frightened, breathe, just keep on breathing deeply. And he gave them, like, he focused on them, on how they can be able to try to the best of their ability to survive. And this little boy who opened the door did exactly that and then passed out. And when he came to, he saw a picture of all the Kedoshi. And he said to his mother, you see that boy there? And they have the names of every one of the Kedoshim where they're from. Steinmetz me Canada, he was the boy who told me how to breathe deeply, how to stay calm. This is the boy whose very last moments on earth, Dovi Steinmetz, that, Tein Yishmato Sruah B'Tzurah Chaim, and he should be made Yosher for his whole family. And what a schutz for the parents to raise such a Kadosh, that his very last moments is how he can help another yid, how he can help somebody else. That is something that comes first nature, second nature. That's the chinuch of parents. Not just that this is the personality of the child. You have to develop it. Yes, there is that light. There is that energy. But it's the parents. It's a credit to them that they were able to develop this to add, you know, his final moments is concerned about another person. And that is a mindset for us to think about as we're involved in trying to raise future soldiers in the army of Hashem. That, my friends, is idea number one. Now let's get into this medrash itself. Source 13. What's the connection between the two? The way they carried Yaakov Avinu to the this aspect of Kedusha, this aspect of unity which the Malachim have, is something that Klal Yisrael desire. And that is what Yaakov Avinu gave the Shvatim. He gave the Shvatim the ability to each and every one of them to know, as the Bemela points out in 16, Shitzayin kol shevet betchunam yuchadet, that every tribe has what its uniqueness for them, and then surrounded by the Mishkan, that they know that all of their jobs, albeit separate, Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. Rav Reisim Rosh Sharim quotes the Chidushei Arim, Ki kol adam nivra al davar miyuchad. We're all created, each and every one of us, for something specific. Mash'i afshar l'adam acher l'taken raku, that only we can fix, nobody else. At the same time, Hillel says, "Ukishani latzmi mani shaykar levatel avarato l'klai Yisrael." But if I'm only for myself, if I'm only focusing on my job, then who and what am I? This is the duality that Klai Yisrael have. This is the duality that Yaakov Avinu was teaching Klai Yisrael. Know your place, and know your place among everyone else. 19 L'chol Echa Nita Min HaShemayim Tafkid Ruchani Yehudi Shoto Alav L'Maleg. We have to do what is unique for us. And that's why we know if a Levi who was supposed to sing becomes a gatekeeper, he's Chayim Yisai. He's messed up. He's a Levi. Yeah, he's a gatekeeper, he's a singer. Everyone has to know their job. V'omnam Tikkun HaKlal B'riach Yilech Oto Adon Baruch Hu Ben Kol HaNishamot. As the Datfunot says, Hashem divided up among all the people. Each and every one has their job. And this is the idea that Sfasemes brings. This is the core of our parsha. HaMinyan Shinimnu Kol Ish Yisrael Mekomo Shinirem Yizeh Sheyesh L'chol Ish Yisrael Davar Miyuchad La'asod La'Hashem Yibarach. V'al Shem Zanivra. We're all created for something unique, something special. And as we've noted before, they were counted by their names because a name encapsulates the entirety of who a person is. You want to know who a person is, where they're headed, where they need to go, look at their name. That is going to be the directive of the person. Being counted by the name shows that this is a tafkid that a person has in their life. Rav Friedland Yuzatzal in Siftei Chaim brings the famous Gemara that talks about that in the future, the tzaddikim will make a circle around Hashem, and they will say, "Zehash v'amar b'yom ahu hinei Elokeinu zeh." This is our God. Kivinu lo, we long for Him. V'yoshienu, zeh Hashem kivinu lo, nakilu v'nispacha v'yishvato. We rejoice in His salvation. And the idea of a machol, of a circle, dancing in a circle. The first thing we know is that circles equidistant. Wherever around the circles equidistant to the center, kivyachol the ribon shalom. Each one of us, one can't say my job is more important than anyone else's. We each have our specific job to do. And when dancing in a circle, we know two things based on the Maharal. One is we're able to see from other people's perspectives. And two, we're able to see that we're part of a group. Right? If we are taken out of the circle, there's going to be a link missing in that circle. Right? The hands aren't going to be able to hold on to each other. There's going to be something missing. And that's how we have to understand, not only do we have to know our step in the circle, but we have to know that we are part of a circle, we're part of Am Yisrael, we're part of Klai Yisrael. And clearly, as Moshe Rabbeinu notes in 21, that this is the message pre-Shavuos. Pre-Shavuos, when we're preparing for Ba'amid Har Sinai, we have to understand the power of the individual, right? The idea of Yisrael's Yeshishim Ribo Osios LaTorah, there are 600,000 letters, albeit it's not literal, in the Torah. The concept is that every individual is a letter. The letter has to be surrounded on all sides by the gvil, by the parchment. Every letter has to stand on its own. And yet, if a letter is rubbed out on a Sefer Torah and you can't read it, Sefer Torah is puzzled. We each stand on our own. We have our own island. And at the same time, we're part of. And if we are functioning and we are rubbed out, the whole Torah, the whole system, whole Klal Yisrael is unable to function. And what a powerful message, Erev Yom Tov, to be able to look inside ourselves, to be able to look at our name, at our essence, and ask ourselves, am I living my letter? Am I living up to my name? Am I being the type of person the Ribbono Shel Olam envisioned me to be? And if we have no clue what that is, so that's even a sadder situation that has to be worked on, because Shavuos, as we know, grants us all the kalim, all the energy from above to be able to be successful in our spiritual mission. So we have to know what kalim we're asking for. We have to know what are the tools that we need in order to build this edifice that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can reside in our lives and in the world. These ideas we've spoken about, what we've spoken about till now, over and over again. We've heard them many times. I'd like to add a nekuda now. I'd like to add a point that we haven't focused in on enough, which is equally important. And that's an idea that Rav Epstein, Rav Zadel Epstein, Zatzel, in Sefer Ha'aros adds here. And he says, we know Chazal tell us in 22, Chayav Adam Lomar, a person is obligated to say, Matayat Yu Masai Lomasei Vosai, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, when will my deeds be as great? We'll reach the deeds of my forefathers. Yagiyu, he says, from the Giyah, that I'll have some type of connection, touching between the two. And on this idea of Epstein Zatzel explains the following. Lamduno Chazal Bezet, and the asterisk. Shekimo Shaloto Vimada Mechaser Mitatzel Menelatzel Koko Chotav Legadlut V'nishar Ksap Ha'ud V'katami Kochotav. Just like it's no good if a person doesn't actualize their full potential the way they can and become the person they can. Likewise, a person should push themselves beyond what they're capable of either. There's also a sakana, there's also a danger. Because if you push yourself beyond what you can handle and you're not successful, you're going to enter into depression, you're going to give up. A person has to know themselves. Don't try to fool yourself. Try to be within the realm. Don't overshoot and don't undershoot where you can accomplish. And he said this was really the machlokes between Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. Korach thought she'itachen she'itkadesh ve'italeh l'matrikas Aaron. He could reach the level of Aaron HaKohen, and therefore he has a chiyuv to go and offer this Torah that he can be a candidate for Kohen Gadol. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no. There's only one Kohen Gadol. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to be the best Korach you can be. He doesn't want you to be the Kohen Gadol. How do I know that? Because he didn't choose you. And that's why in 23, the Machto, we've spoken about the incense offering of the 250 people were used as a covering of the Mizbeach. There was some level of Kedusha in it. Because indeed, their desire was to become greater, to become holier. At the same time, they were punished and they died because they overshot what was appropriate for them. It's good to strive, but strive within the confines of who you are. And this was what worried Moshe Rabbeinu. When the Klal Yisrael saw the legions, the Degolim, the flags of the angels, and they said, Mit'avo, we also want this. What Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of is that they were wanting something that was above their level. that they were aiming for something that was beyond what they could handle. And that's the idea that they'll complain, why are we in the East? We want to be in the South. The South, we know, is one who wants Chochma Yadrim, will go to the South. They were looking for levels beyond them. To which the Ribbono Shel Olam told them the following. The end of 24. What Yaakov Avinu showed them wasn't just physical placement, you know, little place cards, la'avdil. This is where you will sit, right? This is where you will carry the aron. This is where you will reside by the Mishkan. That's so superficial. What Yaakov Avinu showed them is, where is your place? Which part? East, west, north, south? They, all the placements have such deep significance to them. Where you will be, and what is your upper and lower limits, which is the deeper placement. Don't try to be somewhere where it's not meant for you to be. And that's the deeper message of that Yaakov Avinu and the placement in the Midbar, the connection between the two. Why do we learn from Yaakov Avinu how they were in the Midbar? Because the answer is, in the Midbar, it was about how to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam with the Aron, the Mishkan in the middle. They were all surrounding Kadosh Baruch Hu. What's the best way to serve him? Yaakov Avinu and his brachos, by giving each one a bracha, and hence on their flag was something usually connected with their bracha. Right, Dan, it was a snake, that was on his flag. It was very much connected to the brachos of Yaakov Avinu. It was a continuous reminder. These are your kochos. These are your strengths. These are your weaknesses. This is what you need to focus in on. And that is the placement, is really the internal work of each person in that Shevet, knowing exactly what they were supposed to accomplish. And this is really... it's hard, but this is the message for us. The message for us is to be the best us we can be, and not to try to fool ourselves that we should take on something that's beyond us to take on at this particular time. We have to be able to work within where we're at, within where our community is at, and slowly, with Das Torah, with asking, taking on more and more, developing ourselves, focusing in. Is this the project we should do? You know, like, I was just thinking about this last night, you know, in, I don't know what goes on in America, but in Eretz Yisrael, there is this minhag, I say in quotations, of chasonim and kalos giving gifts to each other. And the idea, they say, is based on Rav Dessler, that giving breeds love. They don't see each other that often between the engagement and the wedding, so we're not talking about that many gifts. But the once every 2 weeks that they get together, they give something small. So, you know, like a keychain with a picture on it, whatever, something very tiny. So my daughter was telling me, in B'nai Brak, there is a store which has, like, tailor-made gifts. Like, you know, a hat brush for a boy, you know, you're on my mind all the time. I don't know, whatever, you know, it's better than brushing up against challenges, you know, with sayings on it. So I was like, wow, this would save so much headache. You know, like, part of me was ready to go to Rabbi Akiva in B'nai Brak and just stack up on presents, and having to just, the night before our meeting, think about, okay, what are we going to get? And I said to Chanelah, I said, this would be great. Let me open up a store in Beit Shemesh. There's so many chassans and kalas. It would be wonderful. And then I said to myself, Shira, this is not where the Ribbono Shel Olam wants you in life, to open up a souvenir store. This is not where your kochos hanefesh are. A nice idea, and it might be a great, gift to the community, with no pun intended. At the same time, that's not your kochos. That's not where you're at. Don't try to be someone or something that's not where that's destined for you. Let someone else who's mumchius is in these things, in creativity, in management, v'chule, take on this. And that's really, as Rav Moshe Scheinerman points out in Ol Moshe, that famous story, where Rav Aaron McCarlin, who author of Kaf Sof, where he says, you know, if they would ask me in Shemayim, do you want to be Avraham Avinu? I would say no. Klamar, all right, Sof go Sof, Yelik Arsbrok, Bulamor Rakav Avraham Avinu Achad, Rabbi Aronok Gadol Achad. Im Kay Manaf Kamino, Lolik Arsbrok, Mi Avraham Avinu, Mi Avraham Aronok Gadol. You know, in Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs one Avraham Avinu. So let him be Avraham Avinu. Why should I want to be an Avraham Avinu? He already has an Avraham Avinu. That was his job. My job is to be Rav Aharon Kohen. Let me do that job. Right? Instead of trying to mimic and to be somebody we're not, right? Like, don't try to be someone else that's already been taken. Instead of trying to be someone else, try to be the best we can be. So, my friends, let's summarize what we've seen, and then let's take this a little bit further, a little bit deeper, with another idea which will dovetail what we just spoke about, but on a little bit of a deeper level. And then we'll end with a final idea, Mir Tashem. First thing that Yaakov Avinu is teaching us is chinuch, start early. When you start early, it becomes part of the wiring. When it becomes part of the wiring, it's much easier to live a life that way. And that is the method Yaakov Avinu was teaching. Idea number two is that Yaakov Avinu wasn't just teaching a formation. He was teaching them, this is your place in life. These are your kochos. That's what the flag was about. L'beit Avotav, we began with Rashi. The flag represented the bracha, usually that Yaakov Avinu gave. Gur Aryeh Yudah, the lion. Right? These are our malchus. These are all the symbols that Yaakov Avinu gave them. He was giving them a directive in life. And that's why where each tribe was at, they weren't going to argue with each other because they knew this is their place to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam from this perspective, from this part of the circle. And this is a duality we're speaking about where every person has to recognize that we're all different and we all have different strengths and weaknesses and we all serve Hashem in our own unique way. And at the same time, we're all part of the dance. We're all part of the circle. We're all surrounding the Mishkan to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we have to know that just like we can't aim too low, we can't aim beyond what is in the purview of what our responsibilities are to accomplish in this world. Let's try to understand this from a little bit of a different perspective. Shvilei Pinchas, which is a much longer and deeper piece, I'd just like to extract one or two ideas. At the time of the revelation at Sinai, 220,000 Melachim descended with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, arranged according to division and Melech. Upon witnessing this magnificent display, Yisrael yearned to have a similar division. Kadosh Baruch Hu agreed to the request and immediately informed Moshe Rabbeinu to make arrangements for the division and banners that they requested. There's another Medrash, where the Medrash says they witnessed were four groupings of Melachim surrounding the Kisei HaKavod, the throne of glory. Michal, Gavriel, Uriel, and Raphael. And we know these four 28 groups of ministering angels, Michal on the right, Gavriel on the left, Uriel in front, and Raphael behind him, with all of their accompanying angels. And this is the basis for the formula of the Institute for us in the Kriyat Shema, we recite before going to sleep, right? Meaning Michal, Mitzvali, Gavriel, etc. This actually reflects what we learned in the Medrash, the four flags and division represent the four groupings of Malachim surrounding the Kadosh Baruch Hu while he sits atop the Kisei HaKavod. So what did Kleinsmoke Kivyachul see was they saw the vision of the Kisei HaKavod, whatever this means, with four groups of angels surrounding the Kisei HaKavod, Michal, Gavriel, Uriel, and Raphael. It's fascinating, because the Pasuk in Tehillim Ched Pasuk Beit, Hashem Adonenu Ma'adir Shimcha B'Kol Ha'aretz. Hashem, our Lord, how mighty is your name throughout the earth. Here the Malachim express their enthusiastic reaction to the order of Yisrael's division below on earth that are reminiscent of the four heavenly divisions surrounding the Kisei HaKavod. And says the Shla Kadosh that Adir stands for the four, how great, how mighty, majestic, mighty, probably better, stands for the four groupings of the Shvatim, Aleph, Ephraim, he was on the west, Dan, the north, Dalet, Yehuda on the east, is Yud, and Reuven in the south is the Resh. Ma'adir, this was the response, Ma'adir Shimcha B'chol Aretz, how great is your name, that the formation below parallels the formation above. Now let's take this a little bit further. the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam is up in heaven and has all these angels around him is very nice and beautiful. But in order for Hashem to be Melech of Kol Haaretz, he needs people down here to make him a Melech on whatever level. He doesn't have needs, obviously. But the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam is a Melech down here, Umachluto B'chol Mashalah, is because we have coronated him as king. Who was the first to coronate Hashem as a king, almost bringing him down? It's one of the first. It's Yaakov Avinu, when he recited Kriyat Shema before his passing. Thus he established his practice for his descendant throughout the generation. Thus it turns out Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, sits upon the throne of glory and reigns over the entire world to the merit of Yaakov Avinu. And really, the neshamas of all Klal Yisrael, who echoed back to Shema Yisrael, who received the Torah at Har Sinai. They established him as the king of the entire world by observing Torah and its mitzvot. Therefore, the image of Yaakov Avinu is etched upon the Kisei HaKavod, and all the neshamas of Yisrael are hewn from beneath the Kisei HaKavod. For the very fact that Hashem sits on the Kisei HaKavod, the throne of glory, is due to the fact they accept Hashem as their king. So here's the imagery here. For Hashem to have a Kisei HaKavod, again, it's imagery, a throne of glory. So the throne has to be, is held up. The throne of glory becomes the throne of glory, becomes the place of majesty, right? Just the coronation in England last week, we have that imagery of the coronation. You need to people, kivyachol, to hold up, to uphold the malchus. So the neshamos of Klal Yisrael are under the Kisei HaKavod. We are the ones that create the ability for there to be that throne of glory, coronating Hashem as king. And Yaakov Avinu himself is found, again, this is imagery on the Kisei HaKavod. Then, the Shir Pinchas goes on, based on the Midrashim, to explain that there's a heavenly throne up in Shemayim, the Kisei HaKavod, and that is parallel to the throne down here of the Aro, and that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's a parallel between Machon L'Shiftecha Pa'alta Hashem, where the throne above mirrors the place of the throne below. When Klal Yisrael build the Mishkan, Kivyachol, the Ribbono Shel Olam moves, again this is imagery, from the throne of glory above down to the throne of glory below. He will vacate 31, the heavenly base of Mikdash that existed before the world was created, and will descend to dwell among Klal Yisrael. Now, with this we can appreciate what Yaakov Avinu had in mind. He wanted the Shvatim to adopt the end of 32, the formation of their future divisions in the Midbar, while transporting him from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. Thus they perform a symbolic gesture, we call it a poel dimyoni, that would merit them the dwelling of the Shechina and the Mishkan, in the merit of the Neshama of Yaakov that remained down below. This would replicate the situation in the heavens above, where Kadosh Baruch Hu sits on his throne of glory, surrounded by four divisions of the Shechina and the merit of the Neshama of Yisrael. So it's as if what Yaakov Avinu was doing was saying, I want you almost to practice. I want you to surround my coffin, bringing me up to Eretz Yisrael. It's like holding the Kedusha of Yaakov Avinu, and that is going to prepare you to kivyachol hold the Shechina down here. This little procession down here was to mimic almost, or almost to set into place the ultimate procession of Klal Yisrael entering into the Eretz Yisrael in the same exact formation that you represent the different malachim, the different sets of angels, where you, on you, have the ability for the Shechina to dwell, for the divine presence to dwell. And this idea that we take on almost that mirror role of the angels, just like the angels surround the Kisei HaKavod above, the Jewish people surround the Kisei HaKavod below, of the Aron, very much has to resonate in our head in 35, the Siftei Chaim. O says, Shalom bimromav, Hashem who makes peace in heaven should make peace down on earth. Peace in heaven, we know, is O says, Shalom bimromav, What is the Sholem? There's Michal is Sheleg, is snow, and Gavriel is fire, and they're able, Shamayim, Eish Shamayim, to get along together. What it's about, Sholem, is about Shlemos. There's a wholeness. The diversity isn't what leads them to come apart, it's what enables them to complement each other. This is what Klal Yisrael were mimicking. That it's not just about being like the angels and doing an angelic role, but see how the angels are able to have Osa Shalom Bimrama, that the angels are able to have Shlemos, wholeness, up above, and we need to have that same type of Shlemos down below. And that's what Yaakov Avinu was trying to set into place, where all the people were able to work together. Now, my friends, let's take this one step deeper, our last idea for today. 36, Berachayim. V'nei ha-malachim ba'u b'gedud l'kabbalah v'torah, k'mo shedershu chazal. The malachim came to receive the Torah. They came in groups. They were kivyachol carrying the merkava. Hein nosim ha-merkava. They're holding kivyachol imagery of the kivsei ha-kava, where Hashem resides. And Klal Yisrael saw how these angels are holding this aron, this Kedusha, this Kisei HaKavod, and they said, wow, we also want to hold the Shechina in the same way. They had that deep desire. V'nitkanu Yisrael v'madregos u'shel v'malachim v'ratzu shegam hem yizku liyam merkava l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Their desire was to be that merkava, to be the chariot, to be able to hold kivyachol the Shechina. V'zeh shamru chazal nitavu Yisrael lo k'malachim. They wanted to be like malachim. Now here's the punchline in the arrow 37, Aval Ba'emes, Hamer Kavamiti, Hema Avos. You want to know what the real chariot is? It's not the angels. It's the Avos HaKadoshim. As our rabbis tell us, Ha'avos Hein Hein Merkava. The Avos, the forefathers, they were the chariots. Why? Because the forefathers continuously held on to the vision of the Ribbono Shel at every single moment of their day. Their whole lives was dedicated to Hashem. What does it mean to be a chariot? A chariot is something that carries something else. And again, the Avos Kivyachol carry the Malchus, the kingship of Hashem, because they were kinging him, coronating him at every single moment, at every single thought. It was coronation of the Baruch Shalom. What if Hashem wanted at this moment? And that's why they are greater than the Malachim. The Malachim are a Merkava. They're only a chariot in the external. But the real Merkava, the true Merkava, are the Avos, the Pnimios, to be able to build. Shekol binyan ha-kedusha v'Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo rochev aleihem. Kadosh Baruch Hu is teaching Klal Yisrael, you want to be like the angels? I have to tell you something, the angels are limited. The angels are externally, whatever this means, carrying God. But you really want to carry the Ribbono Shel Olam? It's living the life of the Avos HaKadoshim. It's living the life where they are the Merkava itself, they are the chariot itself. As Rav Drew points out in Eish Tamid in 39, he says, the Gemara tells us how foolish are people that they stand up for a Sefer Torah, but they don't stand up for Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham is one who embodies the Sefer Torah. When they carried Yaakov Avinu, they weren't just carrying a body to Eretz Yisrael. They were carrying a live demonstration, the Merkava of the Shechina. This is the mindset that Yaakov Avinu is teaching them. You want to be able to be a nation that's going to hold the Merkava of the Shechina, you have to know what it means to hold Torah. You have to know what it means to appreciate one of the Avos who live their life of Torah. You're able to hold that coffin. You're able to uphold and appreciate and respect and want to become like this individual. Then you become a repository to hold the Shechina Kivyachol itself. By carrying Yaakov Avinu's coffin, they are practicing what it means to really become to become and desiring to be that figure of holding. holding Shechina, of holding a life of Torah. And with this, my friends, we can appreciate Se'u et Rosh Kol Da'apnei Sol Mishpachotam Uvei Avotam. First and foremost, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu in Aaron 38, raise up Klal Yisrael. When you count them, raise them up. Hainu Shiyel Lahem Haragasha Shem Kamo Avos. Not only the Mishpachotam to their family, but Lebeit Avotam to their father's house, ultimately to the Avos HaKadoshim. Show them, teach them that we all have this ability wired in us, how we began with today. We all have that Neshama Kedosha in us. And we have the ability to be greater than the angels. And that's the Nesius Rosh. That's the lifting up their head, that everyone should realize what we've been speaking about the last few weeks, that the world revolves around our deeds. What we do creates Shechina in our lives. We spoke about last week that Hashem will dwell with us among us based on who and what we are and what we do. We are a Merkava Lashechina. And when a person feels this greatness, so then you can't give them anything else in the world that will compare to this. The Medrash says, we tell the nations of the world there is nothing as great as this pleasure, as this joy. U'kishechai b'argosha zu, when you live this mindset, the mindset of Akavya b'mahalal, da ma'ayin bata, no ma'ayin! From that world of Ayin, that high-level world, Ula Anatalech, and you're going to that pristine world, then you realize that all of Olam Hazeh is a cloud de mayon. It's not even a whiff of what greatness is about. It's we come from and we're going. And this, my friends, is the message of Erev Shavuos. When we understand that when Klal Yisrael desired to be like the angel, what they're really saying is, we want to be a Merkava Lashchina. We want to hold the divine presence. And the Ribono Shel Olam answers, Leveda Votam. You've practiced by appreciating the godless of Yaakov Avinu, of one of the Avos. When you live a life like the Avos HaKadoshim, when you live a life dedicated to Torah, then you, indeed, are holding even higher than an angel, because internally, intrinsically, you're holding the Shechina within our midst. That joy, that simcha, that ashreinu matov chalkeinu, there is nothing greater than that a Jew can feel, and with that, we walk into Mamad Har Sinai.